Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Brad Thomas of BetUS joins us. We will go over all of the Thanksgiving games. We got three really good ones. Two really good ones and then an okay one. Ravens Bengals isn't bad. The other two, I think, are pretty good or really good. Important games, good games, should be competitive games. So looking forward to it. We'll talk some college football, playoff scenarios, his favorite games of the week, rivalry week. So a lot to do with Brad, and I'll give you some thoughts on college here in a minute. Should have Brad Powers on Friday here to break down some of the college games. So look for that on Friday. But we'll start here, just go game by game. Lions and Packers on Thanksgiving. Again, huge game. Winner probably thinks, all right, got a shot here to win the division, catapult up the standings. Loser is no lock to make the playoffs with how the NFC is shaping up. So, again, really fun game, an important game. And I think the Lions win the game. As far as bets, I'm okay laying the 2.5. I actually do like, even though I like the Lions in the game, it's contradictory. I still like, and I know they haven't taken the ball every time recently, the Packers in the first quarter getting half a point just because, okay, they deferred last week against the Vikings when they won the toss, but that's McCarthy. That's a bad offense. I think they do that. They did that against Cleveland. I think they do that against some of the lesser offenses thinking we're not worried about falling behind. I think their goal is to get ahead, which is everybody's goal, but you have to weigh the value of getting ahead versus the chance at the double possession, end of the first half, start of the second half. So I actually think it's probably better than 50-50. If the Packers did win the toss, they would take the ball against Detroit. Detroit sometimes takes it, but usually defers. So Green Bay, first quarter, getting a half a point, I think is okay. You have to lay $1.40. And again, it's a toss-up game. So getting that half a point is super valuable. I do ultimately think, though, Detroit wins the game. Revenge from the first week. That's a good home crowd. It's a good home crowd, especially on Thanksgiving. I know they haven't won over the years on Thanksgiving, but you know, even some of the lesser teams, we're feisty, we're competitive. Even I mean, they had some horrible, horrible teams for not just years, but decades. You know, before Stafford, even some of the Stafford teams were bad. I can remember just years ago, Joey Harrington, just those teams getting destroyed on Thanksgiving. The Colts blew them out 1 year. Remember the Patriots blew them out 1 year. I mean, they always, usually you put a high-profile game on there, which is something to do with Favre used to own them. But obviously a much better Lions team, a much, much better Lions team. This version, I do think pass rush, crowd noise, the fact that they lost to in week one, and I just don't know. The Packers, they're so up and down on offense, especially now without Kraft. I think the Lions have enough offense, enough of a pass rush at home to win the game. So I do like them minus the 2.5, even though it's contradictory to the Packers, plus a half a point in the first quarter. The next game, Cowboys and Chiefs. Again, loser is in big trouble. Both kind of saved their season for the moment on Sunday with big comeback wins. Chiefs were down 11 in the fourth quarter. Cowboys were down 21. You know, Cowboys still have a lot of work to do to make the playoffs with how the NFC is shaped up. And, you know, 10 is, I don't even know if that's a guarantee to get you in because some of these teams at the bottom, like San Francisco, you know, easy schedules. The Bears have banked wins. So it's not going to be easy for the Cowboys to make a run. They're probably not making the playoffs, let's be honest. But the loser of this game is in big time trouble. And I think the Cowboys are live here. I like them plus 3.5. I think 3 is the better number in terms of what this line should be, will be, will close at. The Chiefs, I know they haven't done well in close games this year, but how many games over the Mahomes-Reed era have they won by a field goal or less, usually by a field goal where, you know, tied late, Mahomes takes them down the field and they kick a field goal. I mean, that's happened a million times. They don't really win by margin. That's just, they've been notorious for that, where they win, but they win close. So getting the 3.5 is so key. It landed on 3 last week against the Colts. And Dallas is actually much better on defense. Now, much better from where they were. I'm not even saying they're good now, but if you just put together a league average defense, they are a legitimate one of the 2 or 3 best offenses in the league. Pickens is outstanding. Lamb is still really good, even though he drops way too many balls for an elite receiver. Dak is a really good quarterback. Is he one of the elite quarterbacks, 3 or 4 best quarterbacks in the league? No, probably not, but he's not far behind. You could win a championship with Dak. I don't care what people say. If you put him on the right team, the right situation, where, you know, Jerry Jones isn't the owner and you put a defense around him. I know he hasn't played well, you know, in the playoffs, but give me Dak Prescott on the Vikings and I'll be in good shape with that roster and the rest of the team or a bunch of other teams. Dak's a good player, but I like them getting the 3.5 here. I think that's, again, a scenario where the Chiefs win the game by a field goal or so is very possible. And I actually think Dallas is super live in the game. Of course, I think if I'm taking plus 3.5, of course, I have to think they're live in the game. It's not like you know, would be a huge upset, but I think it's more of a coin toss game. I think they are legitimately improved here defensively. As far as the night game, Ravens now down to a 7-point favorite. It looks like against the Bengals, it looks like Burrow's back. It looks like Chase is back for the Bengals, which will make this game much more competitive. It would be Cincy or nothing. I can't lay Baltimore, and here's my bet. Here's the angle here. Lamar under 25.5 rushing yards is my best bet here. He just doesn't look healthy. The four games since coming back from injury where he missed a few weeks. Here is rushing totals. 10, 11, and 36 was one of them. And so 10, 11, 14, and 36. The 36 was Minnesota. And that was the week that he supposedly got re-injured and he's missed practice at least once every week since that game. So you figure, all right, he comes back against Miami. He rushes for 14. He's kind of getting his legs under him. The next game, a little healthier against Minnesota. He gets 36, starting to feel better, but he gets hurt that week. If you're of the belief that he got hurt against Minnesota or re-injured it, which, I mean, he's missing practices. He's missed practices since in every game leading up to it, every week leading up to it. 10 and 11 rushing yards in those games. So he is not running. He's not looking the same. Now, you run the risk of he doesn't look healthy. He doesn't look healthy. Then eventually, maybe one of these weeks, he gets healthier and he starts to feel better and he pulls off a Lamar game where he runs for 60 or 70. Maybe it happens and you lose your bet. Maybe that happens this week. But I got to see it to believe it here. So I lean towards Cincy plus the 7. Remember, they played twice last year and they were both incredible games. Cincy probably could have, should have won, one if not both of those games. There was that great Thursday night game in November, and then there was a game in October where Cincy led by double digits. They got a kick blocked. It was just a wild game. I think that one went to overtime. So Cincy has played them tough. This is a horrendous, horrendous Cincy defense. I think Baltimore at home with the much better defense, a healthier defense now, we'll figure out a way to get a win. But wouldn't be surprised if, like, they're up 10 late and Cincy gets a backdoor, that kind of thing. That could happen in the Dallas game, too. That's another scenario in the Dallas game where if Dallas is down 10 late, if they have the ball, Prescott gets them in for the backdoor and it lands on 3. So lean towards Cincy plus the 7, but I really do like Lamar under 25.5 rushing yards. Like Dallas plus the 3.5. I like Detroit minus 2.5. And I like Green Bay first quarter plus a half a point. 4 plays here for the NFL games on Thursday. Again, great games. I remember for years, Detroit was like, oh, can we get them off of Thanksgiving? They stink. Nobody wants to watch them. You know, the Cowboys certainly had their moments. Drew Henson over the years and just some really bad teams before Parcells. I guess once Parcells took over since then, which is a while ago now, obviously, they've had at least good offenses, if not good teams. I guess there were years Romo was hurt where they were boring to watch. But it's all cyclical, and we got 3 really good ones here on a Thursday, throwing all the college basketball. And by the way, the college basketball, I mentioned how on the Monday pod, look for those first half unders. Those do well in those early games. I think the first 6 or 7 Monday morning all went under by a mile. The first game on Tuesday went under, Stony Brook versus Bethune-Cookman. So it's a good angle. And those get bet down too. Some of them moved 2-3 points. They don't post them the night before. So you got to keep an eye for when they do open. They usually open a few hours before the game, and they usually get bet down a couple points these early starts. And it makes sense. These gyms are empty. There's no energy. These kids are creatures of habit. They're night owls, so to speak. They play late. They sleep late. They do everything late. And then you got to play 11 a.m. in front of nobody. It's just some groggy, sleepy starts. And that angle has been pretty good. Before we get to Brad, college football, great games this weekend. I'll give out my plays on the Friday episode. The one I'll give out now, I think Michigan-Ohio State gets bet down. I just don't know if those receivers are playing for Ohio State. And to me, that has more of like a 24-17, 24-13 kind of game. I don't know that Michigan can really move the ball on them consistently. But they've obviously played Ohio State very well the past few years. And without the Ohio State receivers, Ohio State, yeah, they'll play slow. They're plotting. They're good on defense. I just think everything adds up to an under. I think 44.5 is a tick high. But the thing that interests me is the thing I talked about last week. And, Brad Powers, who I think we'll have on Friday, he tweeted about it. And I mentioned that tweet. And I thought it was a good bet. Ole Miss 11-1 to miss. They didn't play a game. Nothing happened this past week. And they're down a +440 to miss. I think if they lose to Mississippi State, which is still asking a lot, Mississippi State's a flawed team. Maybe Ole Miss just runs it down their throat, wins the game, 44-10, and it's all just a waste of breath. But if that happens, you lose one bet. It's not like you know, you're not punished for you know, for being extra wrong, which you could be here. Maybe Ole Miss blows them out, and it just looks like a stupid bet. I would just look at it this way: if Ole Miss loses the game, I think they're probably an underdog to make it. You look at their schedule, there's just not much there in terms of the wins. They won at Oklahoma. It's a good win. Matera's still coming back from injury. Okay, still a good win. The other wins are just not that good. LSU and Kentucky and Florida, it's not a series of impressive wins here. Okay, Tulane's in the mix. Does that do anything for you? And then you throw in the fact that the coach is leaving. It's a TV show. Being a draw matters. And if you have Lane, you're a little bit more of a draw. If you don't have your coach, it's very easy to leave that team out. The other team that's interesting, and the Bear, Chris Felica, he's very confident that Miami, if they win, they're going to get in. They beat Notre Dame straight up. The rest will take care of itself. I'm not as confident. To me, they are clearly one of the 12 best teams in terms of talent. They never should have lost to SMU. They shouldn't have lost to Louisville. I mean, they should probably be at most one loss. I mean, there's just way too much talent for them to have multiple losses right now. I just don't know if they get in. Again, I would love to see them in. I've given them out on this podcast, futures 18-1, 16-1, in that range. I think the tournament, the playoff would be more fun with them in it. I'm just not buying. I'm not totally sold they'll beat Pitt, too. I mean, they should be Pitt. I shouldn't say that. They should be Pitt. I know it's Cristobal Ball favorite cold weather for a warm weather team. Their defensive line should overpower Pitt, and they're starting to get a little healthier on the skill guys. I actually think they might win that game and win it comfortably. And for anyone that didn't see, they stuck a touchdown in with 30 seconds left, up 10 the other day, a passing touchdown on 4th-and-2 from the 20, which I believe covered the number and put the game over and put the team total over. It basically, every side of that wager, whether it was spread, total, team total, everything changed hands on that one play, and they went out of their way to stick it in. Maybe it was to cover. Maybe it was for style points. Who knows? But I do think they should be Pitt. It'll be interesting. And these books, FanDuel, I remember a couple years ago, and the market's not always right, which is interesting. And we got a couple weeks to it because we still have the conference championships to play. It'll be interesting to see how those numbers change if Ole Miss loses, if Miami wins, what those numbers are. And keep an eye on those. I remember 2 years ago, Bama was like 4-1 to make it after they won. And they were the one-loss team, and Florida State was undefeated. Florida State was a monster favorite to make it. And then as he got closer to the selection, that went from like Florida being minus 500 to Florida being a dog. And whether that line was just wrong, which it was, or somebody knew something, or a combination of the both, those numbers are not always right. Those numbers are not always reflective. So keep an eye on those. I can't bet these in DraftKings for some reason in Connecticut, on DraftKings in Connecticut, but FanDuel, for whatever reason, does leave them up. Odds to make or miss the playoffs, at least in Connecticut. I know it's just FanDuel. I'm pretty sure other states, DraftKings, you could bet them too. So excited. All the college football, all the college basketball, great games on Thanksgiving. There's just it is an underrated time of the year in terms of sports. To break it all down, talk some Thanksgiving NFL games, some college. Brad Thomas will join us next. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we're back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him at BetUS PGA Tour, where he does a wonderful job with his write-ups. It's our buddy. He's back. Brad Thomas. Brad, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, man. We are days away from turkey football. Nothing better than stuffing your face and watching the NFL. I'm so glad this is a tradition, because what else would I be doing, right? Eating and sleeping, maybe watching a movie. It's great, dude.
And you throw in all of the college basketball before, after, during Thanksgiving, all the college football on Black Friday and the weekend. Thanksgiving, this whole week is one of the underrated sports weeks, really, the whole year. It's just there's so much volume, too. You never go bored. You never say, oh, man, I wish there was a game on to watch, a game on to bet. There's just the volume is incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, like, normally I'm by a casino or at a casino during this week, so I'm going to be at the sports book, and in, like, I live in Orlando. We don't have sports books, so it's like a really welcome change.
What sports book are you going to?
I haven't decided. I'll probably be at the Golden Nugget. There's just a DraftKings sports book. They just redid it. I'm going to be in Biloxi. They just redid it. So I'll either be that or the FanDuel one. The FanDuel one's smaller, but like the screens are right in front of your face, so it's like you're sitting in someone's family room.
Yeah, and for years it was like, oh, man, we got to get the lines off Thanksgiving. They're no good. The Cowboys have certainly been up and down for years, but can't ask for better games. Let's get into them. Packers, Lions, Cowboys, Chiefs, and then Bengals, Ravens. That's about – I mean, you can't really handpick three-pick better games. I guess you could, but these are awesome games. Lions, the early one as usual, laying 2.5. Total, 48.5. The Packers buried them week one in Green Bay. don't know how much you take from that, but what are your thoughts on this game? Anything, Cy, total props?
Yeah, I naturally lean the Lions -2.5. First, let's just get this out of the way. The Lions, as you said, have been awful on Thanksgiving. They did win last year, but before that, they had lost 7 straight. So we're just going to go and clear the air there. But it's really hard to beat a divisional opponent twice in the same season, especially having to win that road game. The Detroit Lions didn't play great football against the Giants, but found a way to win. And I think there was a lot of looking ahead, right? The Giants also pulled off like 3 razzle-dazzle plays. Like, the Giants were putting the kitchen sink just out there having fun. With the Packers, it's been a really weird team because I'm waiting for them to hit their stride, but I don't think they're going to because of the way they play football. I think their football is not flashy enough to the eye where naturally we're like, this Packers team just dominated. They play at one of the slowest tempos in the NFL, and they also run the ball crap ton and don't have a ton of explosives. That's just like a recipe for keeping things in front of you and making the game pretty simple. But I don't think Emmanuel Wilson's going to be the guy to run a ton. And I don't know if Josh Jacobs, even though he's saying he might play, is going to be 100% enough to go against this the defensive line of the Detroit Lions. So all in all, Lions at home. This is the revenge spot from losing the first game of the season. I like the -2.5.
I'm with you. It's usually a pretty good crowd on Thanksgiving, too. They're loud. That'll help with the pass rush. It's under a field goal. I'm with you on Detroit. You don't have to have anything, obviously, but first touchdown score, these are standalone games. People want to bet them. Do you look at these markets still, or are these to the point where, you know what, it's just not even worth it?
Dude, these markets are hard now. Yeah. Like, even last, what was that? The, the Rams game? Cody Parkinson, who is, mind you, minus like 400, 300 to score a touchdown, was only 10-1 to score the first touchdown. I wanted to smash his first touchdown so bad, and I was like, 10-1 for a guy who's plus 400 to score? Like, he only had one red zone target each of the last 2 weeks, but it was just, that's how you have to bet these kind of markets. For me, first touchdown score, I know it's going to be something stupid, right? It's going to be one of these low guys that have no value. But if I were to go a little bit against the grain, man, it's tough. It's slim pickings for this game.
Just to give the odds, just so people have frame of reference, I'd go Gibbs plus 425, Jacobs 5-1, St. Brown 8-1, Montgomery plus 850, then Dobbs 12. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, I just listed, 5 guys that are under 10-1. I mean, it's just really hard to win that way. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hate Dobbs, though, all right? He's kind of cooled off a little bit, but he was, like, the main focal point of this offense in the red zone. Really, realistically, the Packers have literally just been running the ball in the red zone now. But if you think about the wide receivers, the last four weeks the Packers have played, they've only targeted 2 wide receivers. We'll call it 3, okay? But 2 other wide receivers in the red zone. That was Christian Watkins, Dontavian Wicks, and then Romeo Dobbs. Romeo Dobbs still has the most red zone targets, 10. Next guy is 5.
Yeah, I'm with you here on Detroit. That's how I'm playing this. I think that they win this game. I don't mind Packers on a teaser. It's not ideal because it's a higher total, but I'd expect Detroit wins probably a close game. This next one. Again, I'm on the home team. I'm surprised you're getting the hook with Dallas. Kansas City has a knack for winning these games by a field goal. I know this year it hasn't been great in close games, but oftentimes, you know, look at the Colts game this past week. They win by a field goal. And this Dallas defense, I don't want to say they're for real, but as long as they can get to, like, league average, that's an elite offense. They're home. Their defense is better. Backdoor situation, if Kansas City's up 10 late, you probably trust Dak and those receivers to get in the backdoor. I really like Dallas plus 3.5. I actually think this closes closer to 3. What's your take here?
Yeah, I like Dallas a lot. And had this probably been any other team, I probably would have been like more gung-ho to like any other situation to bet the Kansas City Chiefs, saying like how bad Dallas is in the second level. But let's not forget, Rashee Rice was really hobbled at the end of that Chiefs game. And without him, that wide receiver core is horrible. We saw Noah Gray drop a few. Travis Kelce, he's the reliable underneath guy. But there's no one really to stretch the field because the timing between Xavier Worthy and Patrick Mahomes is still off. And then Thornton, he has his splashes, but he's not a consistent enough target guy for me to be worried. Dallas' defense, back-to-back weeks showed up. They struggled in the first half against the Eagles, but then they shut them out in the second half. And then Las Vegas is still like Las Vegas, but to do it away from home, cross-country, I thought that was another great defensive performance. I like the Cowboys.
Again, just for fun here, we'll take a look at first touchdown score. By the way, the first touchdown score, it's kind of funny. Goff is 90-1 in the Lion game. Very rarely do you see a quarterback 90-1, but I know he doesn't run and they don't really sneak it. So that's why it's priced the way it is. Javonte Williams in this game is the short shot, 5-1. Rashee Rice is 8-1. Oh, no, sorry. Rice is 6-1. Kelsey, 9-1. Lamb, 11-1. Hunt in that range. And then Pickens, who's had a really good year here, 11-1 too. So is Pacheco. So again, you got like 8-9 guys here, 11-1 or lower. Anything jump out to you? Mahomes is 22-1. Sometimes, you know, he runs. He's run a little bit more this year than he's had in past years. Any of those guys jump out to you or something?
My problem with Mahomes at 22-1 is you're never getting a QB sneak from him ever. They're not going to QB sneak with Mahomes. They're going to do Kareem Hunt. So he would need a scramble. So I think 22-25-1 is just a really bad price. If I were looking at a bigger price guy, I would go with two options, and they're both on the Chiefs. I go Tyquan Thornton at around 35-1 and Juju Smith-Schuster at 40-1 because the deep ball, this is like the rationale behind it. You're trying to find one of these big guys. The deep ball threat is there, and I think on Thanksgiving, Andy Reid's going to try to take a shot with him. So it's just kind of – that's like really good value if he can connect for a touchdown. The next one, Juju Smith-Schuster, is off the premise that Rashee Rice is hobbled. Juju plays the Rashee Rice role in the red zone where Rashee Rice gets a ton of those targets. So if he's hobbled any and Juju goes in, that's really good value at 40-1.
Are you of the belief the Chiefs are dangerous as ever? They were very close to losing the other day, and I know they pretty much dominated the box score more than that final score indicates, but if they were 5-6, I don't think they were getting off the mat. That would basically imply they had to run the table from here on out, regular season and postseason. They weren't going to do that. They're back, they're a contender, or this is just not going to happen this year for Mahomes and the Chiefs. Where do you stand?
It's not going to happen for them this year. They're not a contender. Like, it's Patrick Mahomes literally willing them to victory, but there was always something like behind that team. I also don't think the defense is good enough either.
Yeah, I'm back and forth. I'm back and forth. I keep thinking they're maybe due for one of these years where they're 10-7 and they lose in the wild card round or miss the playoffs altogether. But then at the end of the day, you look at the AFC and it's Mahomes, it's the Chiefs, and you just look at the rest of the AFC. It's Bo Nix and Denver, and it's Drake May and the Patriots. It's like once they get in that tournament, if they get in, I think they probably will. It's like, all right, who's knocking them off? Who's beating them? I mean, chances are somebody probably will, but I don't know who that team is. So it's kind of a fascinating back and forth.
Yeah, it's really weird. And I also think there's like a lot of teams that are going to be in the playoffs that aren't that good. Like for once, let's just say the Broncos are like, they're way worse than their record. And I think that if the Chiefs play the Broncos, especially in a close game, like, I would take Mahomes all day.
Yep, absolutely. The night game, Ravens laying 7 to the Bengals, total 51.5. Bengals are, I think the Ravens are a good teaser leg here. I can't lay the points with Lamar. Just doesn't look healthy. I've always been a huge Lamar fan. He's not running. He doesn't look healthy. Every week he's missing practice, whether it's a knee, an ankle, who knows. I'm not telling you I'm like dying to bet Cincy here, but it'd probably be Cincy plus the 7 or pass. Maybe it jumps up to 7.5 just because standalone game. And that's the other thing with these Thanksgiving games. Standalone games, the public is heavily involved because they're home, they're on their couch, they're eating, they're betting, and that's a lot of public money that usually favors the favorite, and that usually drives the lineup. So I think you'll probably be able to get a 7.5 on Cincy. That's the only way I would look, but again, I don't love it. What do you think?
Dude, I can't bet Cincy because like, anecdotally, like we say, like, man, the Bengals always stay in these games, right? But then you go look at like over the last four games, they've covered once, and that was a 7.5 point dog to the Patriots, where the Patriots probably had the worst first half they possibly could have had, right? I didn't think it was what the Bengals did. Yes, there will be Jamar Chase, and yes, the Ravens defense is pretty bad. But I just really can't trust this Bengals team being so bad defensively. And also, I think the Bengals just really need to get the ground game going. What better way to get your ground game really going substantially versus the worst run defense in the NFL and the run defense that allows the most explosive runs as well, too. So expect Derrick Henry to have a big night. I can't go with the Bengals, man.
First touchdown, Henry is 4-1, which to me is just unbettable. Chase Brown is plus 650. No, thank you. Chase is 9-1. Flowers in that range. Andrews in that range at plus 750. I don't know why these are not in order. They do it in a weird order here at DraftKings. Likely is at 14-1. Lamar's at 15-1. If you think Burrow's going to come back running, 40-1. A lot of guys in between. Anything jump out to you in the first touchdown market here?
This is a tough one. I'd probably go DeAndre Hopkins. He's like the – and let me be honest. It's going to be Derrick Henry or Mark Andrews. But Mark Andrews, 7-8-1, not good enough. But if you go with DeAndre Hopkins, about 18-1, he saw a red zone target last week. This is why you have – you bring him in here is for those scenarios to jump balls in the red zone. I think that's the best value. But it's going to be Derrick Henry or Mark Andrews, and neither one of those are good value to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. Where do you stand on the Ravens? Legitimate threat to make a run? I mean, they probably need Lamar to get healthier. It's hard to get healthier midseason. The schedule's obviously been favorable. The defense has played better. Again, they're one of these teams sort of like the Chiefs. Once they get in, they're dangerous, and it looks like they will be in as that division winner. But tough with Lamar's health. Where do you stand with them?
They could make a run, but you know what's really tough about this team is like their schedule. They play the Steelers twice. They play the Bengals twice. You know, those are two divisional games that are left on their schedule. And let's say you split both of those. Then you play the Patriots, then the Packers, right? It's just a team that is – when do you get momentum, right? Like, you can end your season on a three-game losing streak.
Yeah, and the schedule's been super soft for a good, like, four, 5-6 weeks here, and they've gotten back on track.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd probably give them 3 out of 4 of Cincy, Pittsburgh. Just I don't think Pittsburgh's that good, and Cincy, all of their problems with defense. I would lean more towards – I'm not going to give them all 4, but I don't know. I mean, those. I don't know. I probably lean more towards 3 than 2.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. What? Anything else NFL before we jump over to college? Anything NFL wise you want to get in here?
No. I'm just excited for these Thanksgiving games.
Yeah, they're great. They're great. It's going to be a great day of football. College. Alabama and Auburn, you are a Bama guy. Roll Tide. We'll get to some of these other games, but boy, a ton of pressure on DeBoer. If he lost this after the loss to Oklahoma, they missed the playoffs again. I don't know what that conversation is like. Not that they would fire him, because I still think he's a good coach, and they had a good year. I can't quite get there with Auburn. This freshman quarterback, I just think Bama's going to be too much for him. So I actually like Bama on the road here to get the win. I don't love laying the points, but I do think they win the game, and I would bet Bama if I had to bet anything. What's your take on this game?
Yeah, I think you have to bet Alabama or you pass. Like, basically, you're betting Auburn on the sense of Auburn has played the Orange Bowl, the Iron Bowl tough over the past few years. We'll just go in the history of the Iron Bowl since they played Jordan-Hare. That's not enough for me. We've heard a lot about how Auburn's defense is really good, how Ashton Daniels just lit up Vanderbilt, but that's not enough. This is the Alabama defense that ranks number one in the SEC in total defense. They aren't amazing at getting pressure on the quarterback, but where they are amazing is in that second level. So when Ashton Daniels goes and throws for 300 plus yards on Vanderbilt, that's a totally night and day different secondary, and I don't think that's going to be the game plan of this Auburn team. I think they're going to have to try to establish the run, and they're going to rely on their defense a lot. Alabama hasn't been super sharp offensively, but I just think if you take away the 3 turnovers, or you even take away one of the turnovers, right, that's then we'll call the fumble on the punt. Like, that's not really like the defense didn't really do that. I'm just talking about team defense. That was a special teams play. Alabama wins that game, and it's a totally different narrative. I just don't see a game where they're turning the ball over 3 times again. And I'm not super worried about the road environment as much as I was like earlier in the season. Alabama played some tough road environments, right? They played between the hedges against Georgia. Probably the toughest road environment they played so far this offseason. It was a really nice crowd in Missouri. Granted, not Jordan-Hare. I understand that. But then again, they played at South Carolina, which had their biggest crowd of the season against them on the road. It wasn't games where they absolutely dominated, but they found the way to win, and their defense stepped up in a big way. And I think Alabama could do the same in this game.
Ohio State and Michigan, I don't know that the receivers are going to play. I know Ohio State's dying to break this losing streak, but I don't know that Smith plays. We'll see about Tate. Those are two lottery picks, a receiver, whenever they come out. I like under 44.5. I would lean towards Michigan, but that's gotten bet down now. I'd be surprised if Michigan beat them again, but hey, I would have. I was surprised when Michigan beat them last year. So I think Ohio State wins the game. Very rarely do you have a team that's a national champion, undefeated, and they're still kind of flying under the radar, which they are. But I don't know, close, low-scoring game. Maybe there's a little weather. I don't think it's going to be too much of a factor, but 30, maybe some flurries. To me, this screams under like a 24-17 type of game. What's your take here, Ohio State, Michigan?
Funny you said 24-17. Books won't move Michigan's number to 17. People are betting the over, but it won't get to 17. It's at 16.5 because 17 is just such a real number for this game. Ohio State's the same way too, 27.5. I lean there under a little bit more. It's hard. This is a really hard game to bet without Carnell Tate, without Jeremiah Smith, without confirmation. I think Carnell Tate's not going to play. Jeremiah Smith said he's probably going to play on his podcast, which we're taking words from a 19-year-old kid, 20-year-old kid. You know, let's put a lot of faith in the dude. But just it's a really hard game year in and year out. Michigan dare Ohio State to beat them through the air. They make sure they cannot get the running game going. And unlike previous years, Ohio State has struggled to run the ball relative to their previous years. Excuse me.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a close game. I would more likely play Michigan first half as opposed to full game, though, because Ohio State can pull away in that more likely than they are to keep it than they pull away in the first half.
Yeah, and you can buy up the team total. And that's what you're talking about with Michigan with the team total 16.5. You can play it under 17.5 at DraftKings. The problem is you're paying like 40 cents for that point, and that's just that's a very expensive point, even though that's a key number with the 155. Let's get to some big picture stuff before we get out of here. I just tell you right now, Ole Miss loses to Mississippi State. They are in or they are out of the college football playoff.
They're out.
I think you're right.
They're out.
Plus 440 to Miss.
Dude, but this is not a good Mississippi State football
team.
Like that like at least with the Alabama Auburn game, Auburn have their defense is real. Right? Like their defense is real. But Ole Miss playing against Mississippi State, like there's no real factor about this team. I think I just feel really like I have a hard time believing Mississippi State can keep this close. The numbers come down and then it went back up. If you notice that, like it went down and now it's climbing a little bit back up. Lacey is going to run all over this team. If you look at Mississippi State, like they were a team originally early in the season where teams were throwing the ball with a lot of success on them. And then a switch flipped and teams are now running like absolute wildfire all over them. And I'm not just using their last game was that last week or week before, whatever, where Ahmad Hardy ran for 300. Like that's we can eliminate that. And they still they struggled against Arkansas. This is an Arkansas team that hasn't been running the ball really well, where you have the quarterback. I think the quarterback ran for like 60, maybe 80 yards. He ran for 40, take away the sack, so 46 yards. And then the running back, Mike Washington, ran for 116. Then the following week, a team that had been struggling to really establish one of the two dominant runners in Georgia had Nate Frazier Jr. run for over 100 yards on like 12 carries. Bowens could have probably ran for 150 if he got more attempts. What is Lacey going to do? Because we know, even though Lacey might not be the most efficient runner in the SEC, his numbers are up there because he gets the carries. I think this is going to be just a lot for Mississippi State to handle. I like the 7.
You like laying the 7 here.
12 o'clock game, I don't give a crap about the cowbells. If it's 7 p.m., I'm a little bit more worried about the cowbells.
Yeah, and the money has poured in here. I thought 10.5 was obviously way too high. I was shocked they opened 10.5, and I mean, it's easy to say that now, but I did say that when it came out. I couldn't believe it was 10.5. 7, I wonder if it dips below the 7 here. And, you know, we'll see here with all the lane kiffin stuff. That's a distraction.
It was at 5.5 at one point. Or no, it was at 6.5. It was at 6.5.
Yeah.
Now it's back up to 7. So I don't know. Like, half point line moves in college football are just – it's not as I don't pay that much attention compared to NFL, right? Because the lines aren't as sharp. Now, if I'm getting – normally when I really start to get concerned, it's like 2 or 3 point moves, then I can just go ahead and auto-fade the 3-point move.
What do you think the committee does with Miami if they win?
Win this weekend?
Yeah.
I think they still keep them like, – let's say everyone in front of them wins. Alabama wins. Notre Dame wins. I think Notre Dame's like a 25-point favorite.
32, I think. Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, something stupid. I think they stay behind them. It's just you have a really hard time. Georgia has to win too, right? Like, it's just have a really hard time, like, really saying, oh, they beat Pitt, justifying it. But I don't know if they're so sure to beat Pitt.
I'm with you. I mean, you can never trust Cristobal on the road. It's a Miami team in cold weather. So, look, we know about Cristobal. He can lose to anybody. Those were terrible losses. SMU is not a terrible loss, but it's a bad loss. I hated, I don't know if you remember the game. They had, like, SMU ties the game with 26 seconds left. Miami had a timeout. They started at 25, and they take a knee. It's like, you got all of the skill guys. These kickers can make from anywhere. Now you have a timeout. If you bet SMU money line, you're saying, thank you, please take a knee. Do not throw the ball with your, you know, maybe first round quarterback and all your weapons. All it takes is one or two completions. You're across midfield, and then they're kicking up to win a field goal. I mean, that sequence, that decision probably costs them a spot if they don't get in.
Yeah, it does. It, like, but there's Cristobal doing that, does that every year, right?
Yes.
Like, where he has just some really bad coaching malpractice, and you're like,
absolutely,
what are you doing? Like, what was that game they lost? Was it to Louisville where he threw that? It's like a swing route, maybe an out route.
Yeah,
like,
made no sense.
It was also a bad play call as well too.
Yep, 100%. That Friday night game a couple months ago, absolutely. Even if it's completed, it didn't get you anywhere.
Let's go back. Let's go back further. Right, the SMU, that was overtime where they ran the ball three straight times and then say, "Oh, we're gonna throw it this time." Like that's the most obvious football play calling ever when you need a touchdown, right? Like, I mean, like.
And that team's loaded with talent, too. They got, I mean, both sides of the ball, the front four on defense, offense, and they're just, we're going to look back in 3 or 4 years at all that NFL talent and say, wait, that team missed the playoffs. That team lost two games. They're one of the 12 best teams. They're one of the 12 most talented teams. But
yes,
I don't know. Our buddy the Bear, Chris Felica, thinks that if they win, they're going to get in. I'm not as confident. I hope they get in. But
who do they bump?
I think it'd be a more fun tournament if they get in, but we'll see.
My problem is, like, who do they bump, right?
I know.
Because – like, let's say you're not going to have Miami in and you're having the SEC runner-up or SEC winner out. And then that's what actually when it gets really interesting. What happens if Alabama wins the SEC? What do you do there, right? Like,
no, it's
Miami's in – I feel bad for Miami.
I don't buy this idea that they're going to bump Notre Dame either. I have a hard time seeing that. I really do.
Notre Dame, this is like – okay – I'm not siding with the committee and their decisions, but what they've done is they're really making college football a lot more fun to watch because they're making these good teams pass the eye test and like blow people out. And that Notre Dame game was really freaking fun to watch them just destroy who they play. Syracuse, it looked like Syracuse was like a JV team. And I think teams are going to do that. But you saw like these were like last week was like one of the highest scoring weekends outside of the FCS opponents, right? That we've seen in a really long time.
And you're never going to get a perfect system. Nobody's ever going to be completely happy. But at least used to be, you know, undefeated teams get screwed over. Now it's we're talking about, all right, this two-loss team isn't happy. You know what? You lost two games. You really don't have that much to complain about. Yeah, we can always quibble. But they fixed the seeding. I thought it was last year. It was a joke that all these teams like Penn State had great pass. Meanwhile, Oregon went undefeated, number one seed. They win the Big Ten against Penn State, and they get a much tougher draw than they had to pay Ohio State. They fixed that. So I have no problem with the system. I think it's actually okay with what it is now.
Yeah, the system's fine. And all these teams complaining, there's going to be more teams in the system by more teams in the playoffs next year. And then the teams from behind there are complaining. Listen, there are one loss teams that are complaining where that wasn't a reality. Like where one loss teams weren't getting in the playoffs, right? Like two loss teams weren't getting in the playoffs in the 14 playoffs. So,
yep, no doubt about it. Last one, Heisman. Where do you stand with it? Can Mendoza win it with a loss against Ohio State? Is this wide open in your mind to Sain or maybe Love? Where do you stand?
I think Mendoza can win it with the loss. And, you know, what's funny about that is it all was, like, up to Julian Sain last week. Like, if Julian Sain just went out there and had a monster game without his two NFL wide receivers, because that's been his knock the whole season, right? Like, they haven't really played anybody. And then he's really relying on his NFL wide receivers. 157 yards, two touchdowns, nothing on the ground. That's like the most pedestrian, and I know they won 42-9, but that's the most pedestrian stat profile he could have had. But he backed that up. I mean, he followed that up. But then, I mean, the performance for that was like 184 yards at UCLA. That's kind of like pushed him out. I have Mendoza and Jeremiah Love to win the Heisman. I got Jeremiah at 40 or 50, I think 50-1. And Mendoza at 7-1 when Mateer got hurt. So I would like either of those to win. I just don't feel like there's never been a Heisman Trophy that's been decided on the conference championship weekend. Unless these guys change what they've done time and time again, year in after year, 80% of the guys turn in their Heisman Trophy ballots before the conference championship weekend because they don't want it to be viewed as a playoff award. They want it to be a regular season award.
Interesting. All right, Brad. Appreciate it, man. Anything else college-wise before we let you go? Any other bets you made?
Yeah.
Crazy how quick the season goes by, isn't it? Jeez.
I'm going to give this one out, and this one I'm totally fine with rebetting it live. I'm going to take LSU team total under 14.5. It's around -150. That number is ridiculous. LSU don't stand a chance to score 14 points. And then if I can somehow get like, I don't know, an LSU field goal early in that game, they'll probably make it 13.5. If it's like they have three after the first quarter, and I'll rebet it again.
Brad, you're the man. Appreciate you coming on. Let everyone know where we can find you.
Yeah, you guys can find my work on X at Mr. Brad Thomas. You can also read my articles, pgatour.com. And then I'm on the BetUS show on Kick, Twitch, and Rumble.
All right, rate, review, subscribe. Contest is coming. I will announce that next couple days. Just wanted to verify a few things, but that will be announced. So leave a review on Apple. Leave your Twitter name or somebody to get in touch with you, and you'll be eligible. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back Friday. See you then.